Is a PhD still the smartest path to your dream career, or are you better off skipping it? What do you think?
Wow. I think that's tough. I think that's a tough question, and it tends to depend on what industry you're going into. For many careers, a PhD can be a great stepping stone, a great training ground, right? Great launch pad. And I think it also depends on why you're doing your PhD. Some people do a PhD for career reasons, right? I want this PhD to be a professor, to be a consultant, to be a marketing analyst, whatever it might be, to run a startup, right? Some people do a PhD for personal reasons, which is where I fall into, which is like, this is the grand pursuit of knowledge I've always wanted to be a part of, and I'm going to do it no matter what my career is after. And so I think that question is sort of twofold, which is why are you doing the PhD? And then what industry are you going into? But it's a hard one. And I think with changing job markets, it's one we can continue to consider because it's a big investment of time and often resources.
Yeah. And does the length of PhDs vary depending on what you choose as your topic, or is it a fixed amount of years?
No, it totally depends. And it depends what country you're in too. So my friends in Europe are doing 3-year PhDs. It's pretty set on 3 years, I believe. And then in the US, it's more like 5 or 6 years. And that might depend on the institution and depend on the field. So I'm most familiar with STEM fields, right? Yeah. So science, technology, engineering, math, stuff like that. And that's normally like 5 or 6 years from what I know. And for those in the humanities, I believe if I'm correct, it's longer, like 7 to 9, maybe. I could get that wrong. Don't quote me. I'm very undereducated in the humanities side of things. But it does depend. And it also can depend on your advisor, too.
Mm-hmm. And what made you get into a PhD? You said you wanted to do it no matter what your career was afterwards. What age did you decide, okay, I'm definitely going to be doing a PhD? And what made you choose neuroscience?
Yeah. So from a very young age, like first grade's my big memory of like, science is so cool. I just want to do this forever because I did a really cool experiment with my mom and celery. I can get into the details if you're interested, but
yes, sure.
It rocked my world. It was awesome. And I was just like, science gives me the opportunity to understand this really crazy world around me. I like that. I like answers. I'm a little bit of a control freak. So I love to know what's going on in the world around me. And I just kept liking science, right? The biology classes, the chemistry classes. And I was kind of good at it. And you know, that always helps. And so in high school, I got more interested in the brain, more interested in understanding behavior, which I find to be, you know, why we act is kind of like the hardest question and the biggest black box. And then I found out there's a field where you can study the brain and behavior, and it's called neuroscience. It's like, oh my gosh, that sounds super cool. Also, I love teaching and I love science, so I'm going to be a professor. Done. So I need a PhD. I'm going to go do that. And also, I like school, so I'm going to go do a PhD. Sounds cool. And then I got into my PhD program, which I'd been working towards for, 10 years at that point, since the high school dream started. And then I realized I didn't want to be a professor and had my own existential crises, but still wanted to get the PhD, still think science is cool in many, many ways. Just changed the career goals a little bit along the way.
And can you tell me a bit more about that existential crisis? I'm sure many teenagers and people in our age bracket around 20s, teens, late 20s have that experience maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 times in their life where they don't know what to do with their life.
Totally.
Can you tell me a bit more about yours and what made you change your decision of becoming a professor and not becoming a professor?
Yeah, so I'm definitely here to normalize existential crises many times along the way. It's fine, right? You're not too young or too old, I think, to have them. And if you give yourself the opportunity to reflect, I think existential crises can tell you a lot about where you're headed and where you want to be headed. So when I got into Stanford, it was my dream to get into that type of school for a PhD. I was just so excited, but I had been tunnel vision for like 10 years, right? You know, hours and hours and hours of organic chemistry, you know, skipping football games at my university to be in the lab, cutting brains, you know, like in a not a mad scientist kind of way, but you know what I mean? Like doing all of these things and making all of these sacrifices just to get to that goal. And then I got the goal and I was just tired and like, whoa, this was such a big thing that I just tried to accomplish and did accomplish. What do I want to do now? Is the path that I'm on the one that I want to be on? I think those transitionary periods allow you to freak out and also, you know, move forward and pivot. And so for me, it was a period of kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, the path that I'm on, the PhD, getting into the program and finishing it was kind of the goal, but I didn't really have a goal beyond that. And so it took a lot of time to kind of figure that out and figure out what kind of life I want to live, not just what career I want to do and what kind of accomplishments I want to have. So the life part, I think, is the most important thing that we forget to talk about a lot.
And what would you be limited to in terms of your life if you did become a professor? What put you off on in that regard?
Yeah, so for many people, the professor path is really enticing, really exciting. You know, if you like, you know, sort of that mentoring side of things and pursuing funding for grand ideas and writing and presenting and all these sorts of things, there can be a lot of beautiful things to a professor path. I think for me, I realized that I like crazy ideas. And sometimes in the academic space, you can't have the craziest of ideas because you need to secure funding, right? You're running a small company. You need to have, you know, secure funding. Things need to sort of work in a trajectory. And I like to do a lot of random exploring. Curiosity is sort of like your inspiration for this podcast. And sometimes that curiosity is maybe not as encouraged in the academic space, depending on, you know, your level of funding and your junior, senior level as a professor. And then also, I think being a professor is a lot of writing, a lot of grant writing and stuff like that. Maybe I didn't really want to do. And then it's slower. There's a lot, maybe less tangible impact. And you move at a slower pace, right? Our projects are years long rather than weeks long. And so I think there are plenty of things that I could just keep going on about why a professor didn't quite work for me. But ultimately, I felt there were paths that were more flexible and better suited to my desire to do a diverse set of things and pursue things at my own pace, kind of. I think that might be some of the main things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what did you choose and how did you choose your pivot from being a professor to what you are now?
Totally. So a lot of it was driven by the life I wanted to live. You know, I think multiple things to consider when looking for a career, and I think your interests and your skills are pretty important, right? What do you like doing can be important, but also the life you want to live, right? How many hours, what location, you know, vacation time or flexibility or whatever, you know, whatever it might be that sort of is important for your life, even like healthcare benefits, right? Or pay if you have children. Or other people that you're taking care of. So for me, the big thing was sort of freedom and flexibility, being able to decide what I work on and being able to decide when to work and when not to work, to do my hours, to be able to do a podcast at 7 a.m. rather than having to sort of do a 9-to-5 or something like that. So for me, if it's not obvious, I'm really interested in the entrepreneur path. I think it's very enticing. I love the creativity involved. It's so mentally and intellectually stimulating. Oh my goodness. It's difficult. It's like you're solving one big problem for like 10 years until you've cracked your customer and the problem and the value and all this sort of stuff. And then you keep going. And I think it's just really fun. So for me, that's the path I'm moving forward with right now.